You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. On Tuesday, the House Select Committee, formed to investigate the violent January 6th Capitol insurrection, held its first hearing. Earlier in the week, we discussed the racist language rioters hurled at Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn and the hard truths they revealed about our history.
Everything is different, but nothing has changed. Why is telling the truth hard? I guess in this America, it is.
The hearing took place despite opposition from most congressional Republicans who have largely resisted Democrats' attempts to examine the causes of the riot, including former President Donald Trump's role in inciting the violence. Following this week's testimony from law enforcement, we wanted to hear from someone with deep knowledge of the inner workings of the Capitol Police Force. Joining me now is Terry Gaynor, who served as the Capitol Police Chief from 2002 to 2006, and then as the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms until 2014. He's currently a CNN political analyst. Thanks for being here, Terry.
Melissa, it's good to be with you. Thank you for covering this.
We heard just a very brief portion of Officer Dunn's testimony. I'm wondering about how you felt watching the testimony from him and the other officers this week.
I actually thought the testimony was both chilling and agonizing. I know and have worked with two of those officers, including Harry Dunn. So it was very, very personal. So you combine their personal experiences with the video that was shown during the testimony and that we've seen really tells a powerful story. But it hurt, actually. These were friends.
Yeah, I had that same sense of just feeling gut punched. Can you help us to understand how Capitol Police are different from, say, our local police departments? Is there something different about processes of recruiting or hiring or training?
No, the training and the hiring is really very similar. They are full federal law enforcement officers. They go to the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Glencoe, Georgia for 6 months after they've gone through a rigorous process, which includes the background checks and polygraph. These are men and women with many of them have college degrees, some former military, some with experience in the civilian world before doing this. Then they come up to the Hill and they go through another 2 months of school at a very unique training center just outside of Washington, D.C., and they go through a lot of specialized training of how it will be to police in and around the Hill. So they pay a lot of attention to all the threats that we had definitely seen after 9/11. And they are good, solid officers who are, some ride motorcycles, some in cars. We even had horses for a while. So it's a good federal law enforcement agency.
So you mentioned a time period I want to hear more about. You served as chief during those years immediately following 9/11. What was the kind of daily sense of threat during that time? And what kind of effect did it have on the officers and on your protocols?
Well, we nearly doubled the size of the department after 9/11. I had been the executive assistant chief in Washington, D.C. and asked to come over to take over that position. And so the threat, if people remember, after 9/11 was improvised explosive devices being delivered by planes and cars and trucks or backpacks and then ultimately shoes. So that certainly was the concentration as we tried to harden the Capitol and the streets and bollards and who could go where and what type of access. And then even the big Capitol Visitor Center was developed so that people would only come in that way. So the threats kept evolving after 9/11. But I have to admit, Melissa, that even when I was chief or the chief law enforcement officer of the Senate as Sergeant at Arms, we did not practice or anticipate at that time an insurrection with thousands of people storming it. We practiced for a lot of things after 9/11, but not for insurrections, not armed rebellion. We had protocols in place that would have kept small groups that we anticipated could have tried to come to the skin. We had that Capitol Visitor Center open, so you would have to be screened to come into the building. But to attack in the numbers that were done there and rush both the east and west front steps was not something we anticipated. We did not train to fight armed insurrectionists in the building. We did not talk about what use of force would be used in those type of things. So that was a shortcoming. Now, maybe after some of the incidents we saw over the summer, whether there were capitals being taken over, I think in Oregon, in Michigan, maybe the thought process should have been changing. So, but that's what we're going to investigate if we finally have a good, solid committee hearing.
I feel like that's extremely important for the American public to understand that even if there was intelligence coming in, and we'll learn whether or not officers had that intelligence, but that there wasn't a clear protocol. Because I got to say, I remember as I was watching it thinking, is this what they're supposed to do? Is this how it's supposed to happen?
Well, like I say, we train for one or two or three people rushing those steps, and we had enough officers, and there were enough officers to attack and confront them. We had heavily armed people up on behind some ballistic podiums on each side. In fact, it could take further action, but it wasn't designed to repel hundreds and hundreds at a time. And I know even as this thing was unfolding in the immediate days, people said, why didn't you open fire? But number one, that's not the general protocol across the United States, that when you have unruly mobs, there's all sorts of training we've done over the years to try to use crowd control measures, less than lethal force. But the size of the crowd, the anger, the hate, the cruelty, the weapons they had, that requires a different thought process, not only by the Capitol Police, and they're undergoing that now, but law enforcement agencies around the United States. If they're going to be rebellious people who are intent to do harm, to take over, to hang, who are that hateful, that stone in our heart, we've got to think differently how we're going to manage that. Intelligence gathering is one way.
I want to ask about a really difficult moment. On October 3rd, 2013, Miriam Carey was shot and killed by Capitol Police. She was an unarmed civilian. She had an infant strapped into her car seat. I have to say, I thought about Miriam Carey a lot as I was watching the January 6th events. And wondering how it is that she could have been killed. And let me be clear, it's not that I wish for one more loss of life on January 6th. But is part of the reason that that happened because of this protocol difference that you're revealing for us right now?
Well, that's a pretty complicated question. So let me address the first one. We did and do have different procedures when we believe a car is a improvised explosive device vehicle, the way to deliver that. So unlike police departments across the United States that have pretty much stopped saying you do not shoot at moving vehicles for any reason, even if the vehicle is coming at the officer, we don't shoot. But on the Capitol complex and other areas, if there's a thought that you are going to deliver a bomb, you are authorized to use force likely to cause death. I know some of the blowback on that, and frankly, I think there should have been much more transparency, and people should see that now. But that's entirely different, and it's a tough decision for an officer to make, and they're trained to make that decision, than it is to open fire on crowds of that size. That's just not how we do it. We don't turn dogs on crowds of that size. We don't turn fire hoses on crowds of that size. There's other things that need to be done to break up a crowd and put defense in position than opening fire. That would have been the absolute wrong signal, terrible thing to happen.
Terry Gaynor, thank you so much for joining us and walking us through this. Terry Gaynor served as the Capitol Police Chief from 2002 to 2006 and is currently a CNN political analyst. Terry, thanks so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.